So our fourth speaker, again, staying in South America, we're going to have the representative, actually puts two hats on. Professor Rubio is the president of the Argentina Soil Science Society, but he's also president of the Latin American Societies of Soil Science at, 15 different societies in Latin America, so... Huh? More or less. Okay. So anyway, Rubio will give his view, his perspective on the needs and challenges in Latin America and other places. So with that, thank you.
Well, good afternoon to everybody. First of all, I would like to thank the Soil Science Society of America, and especially the President Charles Rice, for giving me the opportunity to share this presentation on the during the celebration of the 75th anniversary of our society. And I say our society because I'm also a member of the Soil Science Society of America since my postdoc times in Penn State University back in the late 90s. Okay, let's start. This section of the meeting is called Meeting Societal Needs and Challenges. Okay, in our associations, both the Argentinian one and the Latin American one, we conceive an environmental but also a human focus concept of soil. In such sense, we believe that all the policies and regulations involving soils must take into account the social and economical aspects of the society where the soils are located. In this presentation, I will begin to talk about some social and economical issues of the Latin American society in order to give to you a general context. In the second part, I will show some slides on climate and climate change. And in the last section, I will talk about soils and the soils related priority issues by this day. Okay. Fortunately, Latin America does not have serious overpopulation problems. In this figure, the darker the brown color, the higher the population density. We can see that in Latin America, the light brown predominates, with only some minor exception in Central America. So the warm or the world hotspot for overpopulation are far from Latin America. Now we have around 30 people per square kilometer in average. In terms of the gross domestic product per capita, the GDP per capita, Latin America is clearly outside the developed world. There are some internal variation in Latin America among the different countries. For example, Chile and Brazil are doing pretty well. But most countries in Latin America have less than $6,000 US dollars per year per capita, which is pretty low in the international context. But definitely the most serious problem facing Latin American societies is the unequal distribution of the income. In this figure, the Gini index is represented. The Gini index is a measure of how is the distribution of income among individuals of the same country, and it helps define the gap between the rich and the poor. In the figure, the countries with more equal distribution of the income are represented in the range of blue color, and the countries with a poor distribution of the income or more unequal distribution of income are represented in the game in the range of red. You can clearly observe that in Latin America there is a clear predominance of the red color. Indeed, in the more successful economies like Brazil or Chile. So definitely, Latin America has the greatest disparity in income distribution all over the world, and this is our problem. It seems like we are a scientist can work for rich to be richer, and that is kind of incommodous. The combination of low GDP per capita and unequal distribution of the income led to the fact that one-third of the people in Latin America live below the poverty line as established as $2.50 per day. There are, of course, some variations among Latin American countries, and also there are variations within each country. For example, look at what happens in Bolivia, Brazil, with less poor people towards the southeast. Indeed, in Mexico, there are internal differences in the people living below poverty. What happens in terms of food sufficiency? Latin America have a mix of net food exporters and net food importers. In this figure, the countries with a positive balance in the food trade, I mean more food export than food importers, are presented in the range of green. The darker the green, the more positive the balance. As Flavio said, Brazil is one of the net food exporters. Actually, there are only three net food exporters in Latin America, of course Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina. Why there are net food exporters? Because of the exports of mainly maize, soybean, meat, and also sunflower. The other Latin American countries in general are net food importers, and look at this interesting case of the countries with more negative balance are Mexico and Venezuela, but both countries are oil exporters, so I guess they can compensate a little bit. Latin America, probably due to its extensive geographical distribution and also to the orographical systems, present a large variety of climates and environments. The most humid sites are in the deep Amazonian forest in Brazil and also in some areas of Central America. The most drier sites are in the extremes of the region, in Mexico and also in South Argentina, but also there are a big dry area in the Atacama Desert in Chile. The three net food exporters, Brazil, Uruguay, and Argentina, have ample areas with enough rain to sustain crop productivity. And it determined that almost no irrigation is needed in these three countries to maintain the productivity of the crops. In this second map of the slide, the percentage of irrigated area in commercially exploited land is represented, and the, in this map, the transition from brown color to green color means increasing level of percentage of irrigated land. You can see that the brown, which means almost no irrigation, is the predominant in Paraguay, Brazil, Bolivia, Argentina, and Uruguay, and the other countries depends in some way from irrigation. The higher percentage of irrigation is observed in Chile. Climate change. The different scenarios studied by the IPCC predicts an increase in temperature all over the world, as you know, and also in Latin America. In Latin America, the hot spot for warming is in the center of South America. Here we have the relative changes in precipitation for the end of the century compared to the reference years for two seasons, December to February and June to August, according to the scenario A1B of the IPCC. For Central America and Mexico, less rain is expected in both seasons, which is really bad. For South America, different patterns are predicted in both seasons. For example, in December to February, which means winter north of Ecuador and summer south of Ecuador, there are ample areas where no changes are expected, the white ones, and more rain is expected in the Pampas, Argentina, Uruguay, and South Brazil, and also more rain is expected in the Pacific coast of Ecuador and the neighbors. Different pattern is expected for June to August, with a big hotspot for less rain in the central part of South America, mainly in Brazil, Paraguay, and part of Bolivia. And again, more rain is expected in the Pacific coast of Ecuador and Peru and part of Colombia. But let's see what happened in the other side of the counter of climate change. A recent report presented by the U.S. Department of Energy indicates that Latin America ranks well behind other countries or regions in terms of CO2 emissions from the consumption of energy. We can see in this figure that China, Asia and Oceania, the States, Europe and Eurasia are ahead of Latin America in terms of CO2 emissions. So we can say that Latin America is not a main responsible for climate change. Well, we are in the soil science section of the ASAID meeting, so let's talk about soils. We are in the States, so we can use the soil taxonomy, the USDA soil taxonomy orders. Well, all soil taxonomy orders can be found in Latin America. Alfisols can be found in Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina, among other countries. And the soils can be found along the Andes Mountains, arid soils in North Mexico, and also in the Patagonia region in Argentina, empty soils in Mexico, Brazil, also in Argentina, histosols and spodosols in the very south tip of the region in in Tierra del Fuego. Let's see, inceptisols, the orange ones, when he has a spot here in Bolivia and Peru. Inceptisols. Molly soils, probably the more productive soil in Latin America, can be found in Mexico and, of course, in the Argentina. Oxisol is the typical soil of the Amazonian region, can be found in Brazil and also in Colombia, it's very common. Ultisols in Brazil and also in Bolivia. And finally, vertisols. Vertisols are not very common, but they can be found in Brazil, are the blue ones in Brazil, and also in Argentina and Uruguay. Regarding the productivity or the service that these soils can provide to society, there was a report from the FAO in 2006, indicating that Latin America ranks very well in terms of arable land per capita. It ranks second behind the industrial countries with an average of 0.4 hectares per people. But how is the situation? What is the situation, the current situation of these soils? Well, this situation is that soil degradation is a generalized process. In this figure, we can see the degraded area as percentage of the national territory, and we can see that most Latin American countries has between a quarter and a half of the territory with soils with some degree of degradation. What is happening in Latin America is that land is increasingly subject to pressure as a result of the very high demand from the commercial and non-commercial agriculture and also in the recent years by the production of biofuels. What are the tools that the scientists in general and the soil scientists in general have in Latin America to modify this situation? Well, definitely Latin America should invest more on R&D. In this figure, we can see the percentage of the gross domestic product invested in research and development activities, in science in general. And we can see, for example, here the States ranks very well, has around 2.7% of the GDP invested in science. The green bar represents the OECD countries, most developed countries of the world. is all have a very, very good percentage. And please take a look to what happens in Latin America, is far away from these advanced countries. Also in this figure, we can see the evolution of this parameter from 97 to 2007. We can see that USA has a small increase, the OECD countries too, and Latin American a little increase. But see what happened with China. China almost doubled the investment in science since 1997, and also consider the increase in GDP that occurred in China in these 10 years. Soil scientists in Latin America are more or less well organized. There are several national soil science associations. Almost all countries have its own national soil science association. And there are some journal specific for soil science, for example, one in Mexico, the name is Terra, which is published since 1983. Flavio mentioned the case of the Brazilian Revista Brasilera do Ciencia do Solo, the Brazilian Journal of Soil Science, which is published in 1977. And in Argentina, we have the Soil Science Journal, which is published since 1983. And there are other examples, for example, in Chile, the problem that I didn't get the cover at the page of Chile, sorry about the Chileans, but they have the Soil Science and Plant Nutrition Journal in Chile. To wrap up the thing, what are the soils related priority issues in Latin America? For this presentation, I made a survey a couple of months ago, or as a matter of fact, a couple of questions to all the presidents of the Latin American Soil Science Society in order to identify the soils priority issues by these days. The main conclusion, as expected, was that the soils-related priority issues are definitely more basic compared to the one in the USA. Let's see what happened. The issue highlighted in the first place was the need to develop programs to get farmers involved in soil conservation programs. It can be strange, especially considering that one of the world pioneers in soil conservation were the Incas in Peru, who built these wonderful terraces several centuries ago. But it seems that we still have to learn a lot about our ancestors, the Incas. In many cases, soil conservation is limited not by the absence of regulation, but by political weakness to enforce this regulation, and also by the inefficiency of the extension programs. The second point highlighted by my colleagues, the Latin American Soil Science Society, was the need to improve our soil diagnosis methods and fertilization programs. There are new nutrients coming up as limiting factors of the productivities. And You know that this point, the soil diagnosis and the fertilization program, was the concern of the soil scientists and agronomy probably, I guess 30 or 40 years ago. We have you still have to work with this issue. The third point highlighted by my colleagues was the lack of graduate schools in many countries. You know that, for example, in America, the thesis of the master and PhD students are one of the more important engines to move the machinery of creating new knowledge. Well, in Latin America, there are many countries where there are no grad schools in soil science. Anyway, we have good examples. Flavio mentioned that in Brazil there are many grad schools specialized in soil science. In Argentina we also have, in Chile and also in Mexico, but most countries in Latin America lack grad schools. And the last point is that in this survey, global change was mentioned, but not as a priority issue. You know, remember what say about the big societal problem that we have in Latin America. Then, general conclusion is that stop soil degradation is still the most serious challenge facing soil science in Latin America. Okay, thank you very much, and as my the other speakers, I use this place to make some publicity, and we are going to have next year, so my meeting is, my invitation is earlier than you, and you, is next year, we will have the Latin American Soil Science Congress in Mar del Plata, Argentina. Mar del Plata is a beautiful city in the Atlantic coast, and you are all invited. Okay, thank you very much.